speak to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, bless this time.
Amen.
Oh, we open to you this morning.
Amen.
We open to you for the Lord's day.
Amen.
Oh, we'd just like to receive a word from you.
Amen.
Wash us and cleanse us in your precious blood.
Amen. That's right. Watch us and cleanse us in your precious blood.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we just open to you again.
Amen.
Lord, to receive your speaking.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless this time, Lord.
Right, Lord.
Thank you for getting us together.
Amen.
Oh, I'd like to drop everything else.
Oh, Lord. Amen.
Come to you.
Amen.
Amen. To enjoy you.
Amen.
Enjoy your speaking.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We need you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, be with us, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh. Jesus, with your word.
Amen.
Thank you, we can gather in your name.
Amen.
Lord, we can be blessed by you.
Amen.
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 I'm coming with an open heart this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, we do love that you're speaking to the church.
Amen.
We pray for your up-to-date speaking this morning.
Amen.
Lord, you would adjust us.
Amen.
You would train us.
Amen.
Lord, perfect us, Lord, during this time.
Amen.
Lord, take care for the young people.
Amen.
Let us render the best care for them.
Amen.
That you Lord desire. Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord, speak to us freshly again.
Amen.
We ask for your word.
Amen.
We ask we want to hear from your heart.
Amen.
Even cause our heart to match your heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, our heart will be a duplication of your heart.
Amen.
Like you love the little ones.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that we would match you.
Yes.
Lord, we would be perfected by you.
Amen.
Lord, in caring for this and raising up this next generation.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What do we sing? 1340, therefore with joy. Draw water. Draw water. 1340, I believe. Thank you, sisters.
Praise the Lord. son of Israel.
Amen.
Thank you, you're in our midst.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, your name is exalted.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We can cry out and shout this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Today you shall say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for this time.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, as the saints come in this morning, we'd like to just begin. And, you know, we've the past three times we've gotten together, which is 3 months, you could say.
Yeah.
We focused our fellowship in these perfecting times on the children.
Amen.
And this is not the last time we'll hear concerning the children, but we just wanted to focus on this so that we'd all have a renewed view and burden for the children. And so now, in this time, this morning, we'd like to continue a bit forward and consider the care of the young people. Now, I think most of us are aware and for the last year have been praying concerning 14, they were sixth graders, who we prayed to the sixth grade conference.
Amen.
Amen.
We prayed through their baptisms.
Amen.
And we witnessed their baptisms.
Right.
And even we've started to see them a little bit on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
So what happens currently is that these sixth graders who have become seventh graders, they'll be entering the seventh grade, they come every other week. So they'll come 1 week and then join the young people for the young people's meeting. So we don't see them in the prophesying meeting. They'll just come for the Lord's table. Then the other week, the other Lord's Day, where they are is they're still having a seventh graders meeting where they have been meeting for the past year. It's off-site. It's just a gathering place where they've been being cared for, and they continue to be cared for as newborn babes, helping them to get a taste for the word and things like this. Now, I think we're also aware that this coming week is Pursue 2019.
Amen.
And this is our summer youth camp. That's going on for a week. We've been praying for it. And all of our young people in LA will be attending this. We have a really high number, actually. There's, I think, almost 80 or maybe at this point more than 80 young people registered.
Amen.
For this camp. So this is wonderful.
Amen.
And most of our young people from downtown will be there. But this camp is just 1 week. It's just 1 week. And so everything can't be done in 1 week. Before, during, and after this camp, there's a need of continuation.
Yeah.
And sure, this continuation, we pray and we hope, would happen in their homes with their parents. So parents would be caring for these young ones. Surely there are certain there's certain serving ones in LA who maybe spend more of their focus with the young people, and so they will continue in the care also. But this care really reaches all of us in the church, and today we're here in Hall 4. It reaches all of us. All of us. And because we see them, whether it's just on a Lord's Day or whether it's in a home meeting or some other place, we see them. So the care continues to us. Now, not only so, but I just explained to you how the seventh graders kind of come every week.
Yeah.
They haven't really joined a prophesying meeting yet. But after Pursue 2019, they'll begin to join in a more regular way. So they'll be joining us weekly. So 1 week, they will go to the young people's meeting. And some weeks, they would stay. And so they'll be around us a little bit more. Yeah. And so we wanted to have this fellowship because we will be around more young people.
Yeah, amen.
More young people. And it's important that we have some sensitivity and consideration.
Amen.
We talked about in the past, related to small groups, how, you know, when there's someone new, it doesn't have to be a young person, anyone new.
Yeah.
A friend from work, your family member. They may be older than you, but they're new. If they're in the home meeting, you speak in a certain way. There's some sensitivity that there's someone there that doesn't know
right.
or hasn't heard of a lot of the things that we might be sharing.
Right.
So you share in a different way.
Right.
You frame things in a different way.
Right.
Then if it was just, you know, three FTTA grads fellowshipping together. It's different when there's someone new there. Well, young people are new.
Yes.
They're new ones. And in fact, these seventh graders are very new.
Right.
This will be their first introduction to like what a prophesying meeting is. And so we want to have some fellowship here. Now, to give us some context, I'd like us to read the verse at the top of our sheet, which is 1 John 5:1.
Amen.
Let's read this all together. Go.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been begotten of God.
Amen.
And everyone who loves him who has begotten loves him also who has been begotten of him.
Amen.
It's a wonderful verse. The wording is a little complicated at parts, but here it's saying everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been begotten. We all have believed Jesus is the Christ. We've all been begotten.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then it says, everyone who loves him who has begotten, we all love him who has begotten us. Everyone who loves him who has begotten also loves him who has been begotten of him.
Right.
Yeah.
So there should be just welling up in our being love.
Amen.
For these little seventh graders. They've been begotten of him.
Amen.
We love the Lord because he has begotten us. But there are little ones,
amen.
Year by year, month by month, who are being begotten of him. And we love them also.
Amen.
Or we should love them. We should love them. All right, let's read this little ministry excerpt concerning our heart. Having a heart. Okay, so with your neighbor, the two paragraphs right under the verse, read them with your neighbor. Go.
In whatever person is
the most important thing is to have a heart. Without a heart, a person will not want to do anything. Even if he does something, he will not be enthusiastic in doing it.
If you want to do this work,
if you want to do this work, you must be likely to people who care for them and be concerned about their affairs.
This may be considered a minimum capital required for you.
If we truly want to do the young people's work and do it in a worthy manner, we must let God open our eyes to see the preciousness of the young people and their importance in God's kingdom.
Amen. So this is concerning having a heart. Some of us may feel, I have a heart. Some of us may feel, I don't have so much heart for these ones. But I like this at the end. We must let God open our eyes.
Amen.
We must let God open our eyes to see the preciousness of the young people and their importance in God's hands.
Amen.
And if we see this, we will appreciate this and spontaneously we'll have a heart within us for it. So, as those who have been begotten of him, who love him, we love those who have been begotten of him. Now, we may have the sense, we don't have so much love, so much feeling, maybe. So we ask the Lord, open our eyes. And even that's why we're having this time this morning, that just a little bit the Lord would open our eyes to see the preciousness of the young people. Amen. And we'd have a heart to really care for them.
Amen.
So I'm going to share a few things, very simple, practical things, related to, especially on the Lord's Day, how we can begin to care for these young ones. And of course, when we're sharing this, because they're the newest ones, I'm referencing the seventh graders a lot, but they're not the only young people. There are young people from junior high all the way to seniors in high school who are among us. And not only so, all the fellowship that we share this morning is related to any new person, anyone who comes among us.
Amen. Really.
So I just have five practical things. They may seem silly, they're so simple, but we have to hear them.
Yeah.
We have to hear them. Good. And then Stephen will share with us some practical fellowship concerning the prophesying, even how we speak, considering how we speak.
Amen.
With the view and sensitivity of having younger ones and newer ones among us.
Good.
Okay? So these are the five things I'd like to share, how we can begin to care for these young ones. Number one, when we see them, smile and say hello. That sounds silly, right? We don't need to be reminded to do that, but we do sometimes. We do sometimes.
Yeah.
Many times we're deep in our prayer mode, and sometimes we have a serious prayer face. And when someone sits next to us, if we stay in that serious prayer face, it may seem like we're not interested in them. But you know, we can stay in spirit and smile at someone. You know? I believe the Lord smiled at people with a very sweet smile, right? Greeted people.
Yeah.
Well, it's important. This is so simple, but a smile goes a long way.
Right.
When someone sits next to us, we should look at them and smile. We should say hello.
Yeah.
We might shake their hand, or we might at least help them find the hymn that we're singing at the time. We should at least do this much when any person sits next to us, right?
Yeah.
Just welcome them. And, sometimes the young people will smile back. Sometimes they won't, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. Just smile, just welcome them. We should all have this warm entrance into the meetings, okay? So, okay, this is good. I think that's pretty clear. Okay, the next thing is we can sit with them.
Yeah.
We can sit with them. Now, I'm not saying you have to sit with, we're all running to sit, you know, there's only one or two seats next to a person. But, so if you come in, I know sometimes we come in, we scan. We might see a young person, that's going to be troublesome. That looks a little more safe. And we go sit next to someone that we know, or, you know, someone. But we can sit with them. We can sit with them. Sometimes a young person may be sitting by themselves for a long time, and everyone who comes in goes somewhere else. But we can sit with them and just take care of them, get to know them. And you know what? Sometimes we might sit next to a young person, and then a few of the friends come. And then we get up and we move and we go to the end so they can all sit next to each other. But you know, now there's no one with them. They're just, you know what I'm saying? We've like, now we're at the end. So our next door neighbor is the heir. But we could sit between them. So now you have one here and their other friend right here. And we can care for them in that way. We don't have to get up all the time so they all can sit in a row and take up a whole row together. Yes, they like sitting with their friends, so it's okay. It's okay for them to sit with friends. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we can sit with them and we can become their friend. Mm. We can become their friend, okay?
Amen.
So let's sit with them, all right? Now, number three, they learn by watching us. Mm. Now, I don't say this so that we have pressure on us. But they do. They do. So, in a healthy way, we should pray. In the meetings, in a healthy way, we can call a hymn. In a healthy way, we can sing. We can sing. And we can help them to enter in too. I don't mean that every minute we're nudging them and forcing them to do something, but we can say, let's get up and say this line right here. We don't have to say, do you want to stand up? Because they'll say, no, I don't. I don't want to do that. But, and that, you know, most of us don't want to get up and do something. But if we say, let's stand up together and do this, then most of the time they'll get up and do it with you.
That's right.
Sometimes they'll say no. That's okay too. But we can help them to enter into a normal function. Amen. If they see us functioning in a normal, healthy way, they'll learn to function in a normal, healthy way.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
All right. 4. This is a little tough, but include them in conversations.
Yeah.
It's hard, I know. After the meeting, they might go in group somewhere. But, you know, we can include them in certain conversations. If you see a young person, if you're having a conversation and a young person is nearby, you can ask them something and bring them into the conversation. Or you can say hi to them, even if there's two friends talking. You can say hi and ask a question and then keep going. But you know, young people are young.
Yeah.
They don't know yet, many of them, how to break into a conversation, how to even hold a conversation, how to start a conversation. So, but we do. We know how to have a conversation with someone else. And so we're helping them to enter in so they can start to converse and get to know saints in the church. Okay? So we're helping them in this way.
Amen.
Okay, lastly, pray for them.
Amen.
Pray for them. Like I mentioned, generally speaking, if there were new ones who came to the meeting or were beginning to meet among us, we'd probably pray for them in some setting, whether it's on the prayer meeting or our small group core when we get together. We would be praying for that new one who's starting to come to the home meeting or whatever. Maybe some saints would get together to pray for someone that they met. Well, we should have the view that these are new ones. They're new ones. They need prayer. They need prayer to keep the enemy away from them. They need prayer that they would grow and they would learn to pick up a taste for God's word. They need prayer that they would feel at home in the church. They need the same kind of prayer any new person would need. So pray for them. Pray for them. I know young people that are around us because they were around maybe in children's meeting. They were around, you know, we see them in the hall, in the meeting hall, whatever. It seems like they've just always been around. They'll always be around. But actually, in many cases, they're not always sticking around.
Yeah.
What they need is our prayer.
Amen.
What they need is us to help show them how to have a conversation so they can build relationships in the church.
Amen.
To help them to function in a normal, healthy way in the meetings. Mm-hmm. And to welcome them and sit with them and so that they have the sense that they're wanted, they're needed, and the church is a place where they can feel comfortable and be cared for.
Amen.
So I'll share that much. Amen. I know this maybe didn't seem so spiritual, but there are things that are very important
yes.
with the care of this group. Now, Stephen will continue with some
Amen.
Fellowship related to prophesying.
Amen.
So as Ben said, we want to talk about even how we share and are prophesying on Lord's Day morning with the view that, again, there's going to be a good number of these brand new believers
Amen.
With us. Okay, first, though, let me ask some really easy questions I think all of us know the answer to, not trick questions. What's the goal of our prophesying, meeting? What's the goal? Yeah, the goal is to build up the church, right?
Amen.
The goal is to build up the church, okay? Is the goal to share what we enjoyed Actually, that's not the goal.
Right.
Now, that is good. But in many cases, sometimes our goal is just to make sure that we share what we enjoyed. But it may not build up if the people are not getting what we enjoy.
That's right.
Or understanding what we enjoy, right?
Yep.
So even though we may share what we enjoy, we may not actually be really building up the church. Mm. If the church, and what's the church? The church is us, right? It's everybody here. So if the church is not getting what we're saying, then it may be a little bit of building, but it could certainly be better, right? Okay. Also, the goal of the prophesying is it to thoroughly cover everything in this book? No, it's not. That's not the goal of prophesying. The goal of prophesying, again, it's to build the church.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we may not cover everything in this book, but we can still reach the goal.
Right.
We may have to slightly alter what we share so that it might be a little different than if we just share what we enjoyed, but we reach the goal, which is the building of the church, right? Okay. Now I have say five little points, and most of them actually are very, very easy adjustments. If we get up and speak, they're not like completely revamping necessarily the way that we speak, but just with some little adjustments in how we prophesy on Lord's Day morning, actually can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for these seventh graders or young people, but even for any brand new guests that we have that join a meeting, actually, it can make a big difference, okay? So here's the first one. The first one, you write the word start. Start now, okay? How we start is important, all right? Say, like, I stand up and I say, this week I enjoyed day two. Okay? What does that do? Suddenly that alienates everyone who has not gotten into this book.
Yep.
Which, by the way, how many young people do you think get into this book during the week? Almost none, if any. And you think it's because they're lazy? No, it's because, honestly, it's way over their heads in many cases.
Yeah.
And we don't want them to get into this because they're not ready yet.
Right.
Okay? But that doesn't mean you can't share something from this book that would really help them. You can't. But if I start by saying, I enjoyed day two, suddenly everybody who hasn't gotten into this book or doesn't even know what day two is lost. All right? You've just lost them. Okay? So, or of course, I enjoyed Roman numeral 5, point B, letter, you know, number one. Again, it's just, they're going to tune out, right? Because they have no idea what that is. And there may not be anyone on the row that even has the book to look at. So it could be a very simple adjustment, how we start, all right? Instead of, say, like, I want to share on the matter of repentance, right? Instead of saying, which is on day two,
yeah,
all right? I enjoyed day two. You know, we could just say, this week, the Lord touched me with this word, repent. Okay? Very, very, very easy to, right, mm-hmm. enter in. Or I could start by saying, Matthew 3:2 says, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. Okay? Suddenly, it's just a verse from the Bible, right? Anybody can follow that. So our start, how we start, you can lose people from sentence one
mm-hmm.
if we don't think about our audience here, okay? So start. Number two, again, I would use the word verse. Verse. Again, sometimes it's okay to read something from this book, but again, realize probably when we have everybody all together, probably half the people will not actually possess this book. So if you ask them to look at it or read from it, but how many people will have Bibles?
Yeah.
Almost everybody should have a Bible on them. So if we say, let's turn to our Bibles, or let me share with you a verse from the Bible, suddenly that's including everybody. And especially if there are, again, guests who are just joining from the first time, they might think this is a little, they might not know what this is. Everybody knows what the Bible is. So again, it's very inclusive.
Good.
Sharing a verse
Amen.
As we share is very, it helps. It just helps everyone, bring everyone in, okay?
Very good.
Okay, Third, this is an easy point, and I think most of us observe this, is just keep it short.
Yeah.
Keep it short, right? Don't speak too long. Usually we're in the range of like 90 seconds, 2 minutes, something like this. So keep it short, okay? I think that's, a lot of us do that already. Now here are a couple other things to consider that can really help engage, all right? Actually everybody, not just the young people. But what about just asking a simple question? Asking a simple question. Mm-hmm. For instance, again, on this matter of repentance, I might say, you know, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there's a very important subject called the kingdom, God's kingdom. And the very first time this word kingdom is used, there is a very important verb and command that that actually John the Baptist tells us in relation to this kingdom. You might think it's that we need to enter the kingdom or that we should believe for the kingdom. But actually, that's not the word the New Testament uses. What's the word that the New Testament uses in relation, the very first time it mentions kingdom? What is it? Repent.
Amen.
All right? So I'm asking a question to help, you know, engage,
right?
Mm-hmm. And wasn't that better than just saying the New Testament says repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near, which is not bad.
Yeah,
it's not bad. But just by asking a simple question, and you don't even have to say talk with your neighbor and answer this question, but just by asking a question like that, suddenly it can really help engage, right? Okay. Another point. This is fifth, right?
Yep.
Fifth point. Yeah. Testimony. Share an experience that of, say, repentance. I experienced repentance this week when I realized I was just, you know, wasting my time. And let me share one more thing. Actually, two more things. One more point. Another point that really makes it help. That really makes our sharing helpful is illustrations.
Yeah.
Illustrations. All right, so I might be like, you know, when I was younger, I used to collect baseball cards, and I was totally into it. I was really into it. But later I realized, why am I wasting all my money on these baseball cards? I mean, they're just pieces of paper. They're just, you know what I mean? And so I had a change of mind.
Yeah.
I had a turn, and I realized, you know what, baseball cards is really nothing. I need to be, you know, reading my Bible, or whatever it is, or doing something else. So that actually is an example of repentance.
Yeah.
Because repentance is to have a change of mind and a turn in our purpose.
Right.
All right? So an illustration sometimes can be very helpful. That may not be the best illustration, but an illustration to help us understand this point. Okay? Now, one more thing. So you got it? So these, right, how we begin, right? Sharing, keeping it short, verse, asking a question, testimony. And we don't have to do all of these things every single time, but yeah, these are helpful things.
Amen.
And they're small things, all right?
Good.
And I want to say one last thing, too. Ben kind of alluded to it. Don't be discouraged if it seems like the young people are not paying attention. Like, you really put a lot of effort into this. You added an illustration and a verse and a testimony, and then you're looking it back you know, the young people are like this. You're like, oh, man, I just wasted all my time preparing this, and they're not even listening. Actually, they may be listening. They may be listening, even though they may not be looking at you like this. But I believe something is getting in, and mm-hmm. it's not a waste of time. And the more we do this, actually, the more they'll feel engaged, and they will want to pay attention.
Amen.
So I just end with that. And then should we stop?
Yeah. How about we'd like to have some prayer.
Amen.
But is there any response or questions that anyone has before we get into some prayer together?
Amen.
So I serve with us. What used to be sixth graders last year, now they're the seventh graders throughout the year. It was a very humbling experience,
and it was a very
encourage and experience at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of pointers that, that we learned as we went through the year is that they really do look up to us. They might not show it, but they really do are paying attention to what we do. So in a healthy way, we need to take the initiative. I like the example that Ben shared. Like we don't ask them, hey, would you like to stand up with me? But instead, let's just do it, right? What's the worst that could happen, right? They do have a desire to be engaged. This is an age of distractions, of being on your phone all the time. And these seventh graders have that feeling that they want to be engaged. So if that's a prime moment or experience for them to have an actual conversation with someone that is that they're able to relate to. So there's a desire to be engaged. Use examples, use pictures, paint a picture to them, and you have their attention. And my last point is, don't wait to feel ready to start engaging with them. Do it now. We're all learning. None of us are professionals in doing this. We're all learning, so don't be afraid of perhaps making a mistake. But I like what the reading said. We just need to have a heart. Amen. And the Lord needs to open our eyes.
Amen.
So that we can actually have this heart for the young people, for Amen. The seventh graders. So that when we go, there's blessing.
Amen.
Regardless of outwardly how it went or did not go.
Amen.
Amen.
I like we can sit with them and become their friend. Good line.
Amen.
I think sometimes I just lack this consciousness that that these young, like the seventh graders, are new ones. They're newborn babes that need a lot of care.
Mm-hmm.
I like the verse that says that like, you need to love them because they've been begotten of Him.
Yeah.
Like in a normal family, if a newborn baby is among them, like no one's just gonna neglect the baby.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just. Like, I have to confess, like, I just assume the children serving what they're caring for them, you know, or the young people's like, the young serving what they're caring for them. So I don't really feel, like, quote-unquote, responsible. But, yeah, I realize, actually, they need to feel engaged and they need to feel welcome to actually enjoy being with us, you know, and this is the only way we're going to keep them in the church life, to actually build them with us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Ben and I were just talking about this matter of seating because it's helpful. I want to ask a question. What if there were the young middle school brother who comes into the meeting and the first empty seat is right here by Janice, right? And he just comes and sits by Janice. How do we feel about that? What do we do? I think we do nothing and smile and say welcome, right? These are middle school kids without the, what's the right word? Without the baggage, without concepts. These are family members. It's often weird when any guest comes in and, you know, they come and they sit next to somebody of the other gender. And then we do this weird, like, musical chairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't you think that would make a new brother, whether an eighth grader or a 25-year-old man who comes and sits next to Janice, and Janice wouldn't do this, but Janice gets up, moves to Phoebe, and then, you know, and then we have to do this. Like, that's not very welcoming. So when people come in and they sit, wherever they sit, we welcome them. This is a family gathering.
That's right.
Their family, you don't have to give them a hug and you know do all sorts, but you should be warm. Now, the case that Ben presents is, let's say that middle school boy sits, you know, there's these two empty chairs there, and one sits by himself there. It really should be the case that one of us brothers should go and sit next to that young brother, and vice versa. If it's a middle school sister, we would not encourage the single brothers or, you know, to go. That even that in the world looks awkward, right? So I hope that helps. I just want to, this is just part of the care for one another of any age. I hope nobody's conscience would be so sensitive that if somebody of the other gender sits next to you, in the meeting that you would, you know, you wouldn't be able to bear it. Like we should, we're here as a family. We should care for one another. Of course, the ushers can wisely help guide things, but sometimes people come in and it's hard to manage all of that. Okay.
Amen. Okay, we may have some more fellowship on this in the future. And again, next week is Pursue. After that, we'll begin to see these seventh graders a little more regularly. Okay? We have to break, but how about we spend a minute with our neighbor and pray both for Pursue 2019 and for the young people as we see them more and more regularly in the on the Lord's Day.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, we love you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for these young people.
Hallelujah.
We see them in our hands.
Right.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Look to you for the normal growth.
Right.
Normal growth in life.
Amen.
Oh, even our being with them.
Oh,
Lord Jesus.
Amen. That's right, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for all the young people.
Amen.
Lord, to continue to grow in life.
Amen.
Lord, be built into the church.
Amen.
Lord, give you all our interactions.
Thank you for the fellowship.
Oh, Lord.
Give us a heart.
Amen. Give us a heart
in the young men.
Care for them.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Give us a heart, Lord.
Amen.
Take care of them.
Amen.
Oh, we need more of your heart in us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, be the great shepherd in us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. That will flow out, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good shepherd.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Just a quick, for everyone's awareness related to the young people on Lord's Day. You know, historically, we've always gone upstairs to the Yowls home to have the meetings. Not that we'll never have a meeting up there again, but the group is getting bigger. It went from about 15 weekly to like 25, something like that. So the group is a lot bigger. And so one thing we tried last time was that after the Lord's table, we went outside to the front and walked to the brother's house. And this was helpful. It was good to get a little break. But that's what we will probably do today and continue to do for a little while, okay?
Amen.
So we can dismiss. We can go to our different dish. Actually, no, we'll all be here, right?
Yeah, actually, one word on just the meeting formats. This summer, of course, we're combined for a few weeks. Next week, some of the school districts start already. And one thing we have to be well ahead of is the incoming class of sixth graders. So that's one area that we will need to fellowship more, right? Daniel is a sixth grader very soon. And so this wonderful cycle begins again. So keep that in our mind. The second thing is, and this is a general principle that will apply to how we think about our meetings in the coming weeks. When you have children, that changes everything in your life. Mario, you agree?
Yeah. Sure.
Like, whatever plans you had, however perfect your life was, everything changes, right? Like, I mean, just blow it to everything changes. That's that, and you reprioritize for the kids. So that's that. We have to think in those ways. As we have kids, everything should change, and we should reprioritize for the sake of the younger ones. Okay, so let's keep that in mind.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.